Welcome back to the Action Filmmaking Decoded podcast. This episode is all about the Ip Man franchise. We've been becoming pretty big fans of the franchise, right? Over the years.
I'd say that it actually kind of started with Ip Man, because
that's the proper pronunciation.
That's the proper Chinese way of saying it. It kind of started with him, because when we first saw the Ip Man movies, it was something very almost kind of legendary, because when you look at Flashpoint and SPL for previous Donnie Yen roles, it's like he's this crazy kind of brawler guy, but he takes a very different stance.
A character change in these.
Very big character change, because he's this totally jazzed out Wing Chun master. And comes off as invincible, at least in the first movie, but he goes through a very good progression throughout the franchise, I would say.
Yeah. And I liked how they kept pretty consistent with the director. So he had the same vision throughout the movies. But talking about how we first got into it, I mean, who first introduced you to the movies?
Actually, I think it might have been you.
Oh, really?
I got a lot of movies from you, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, dude, I was a huge fanatic of the Ip Man franchise. I remember... Man, should I even be saying this on air?
Yeah. Go ahead. Just say it.
I remember our uncle got some DVDs.
Okay.
And one of them was Ip Man... one or Ip Man 2 actually, and I was just like oh, what is this Chinese film? And I was just like, okay. And we had a DVD player in my kitchen, and I remember my mom was cooking, and she was just like, oh yeah, put something on the TV. So I was like, okay, yeah, just put this Chinese movie on for her.
Just put this Chinese movie on.
Yes. I plopped the DVD in. I know, so naive. The DVD in, put it in there. And I was watching it too, and I was like almost instantly hooked, because at the beginning I was like, oh, haha, it's funny, they're on the roof or whatever. And I think I was watching, and then I was like, oh my gosh, yo, this is probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I was watching it, and I was like, wow, because I think at the moment I was really into Chinese kung fu movies, but I don't know what I was thinking, but I plopped the movie in not knowing that it was a Chinese kung fu movie. And then I started watching it, and I was like, yo, this is actually really good. So I started with Ip Man 2. And then after that, I got more into what that was all about. I even asked my uncle if I can get
the other ones.
The outfit that he's wearing in the movie. Because I was like, yo, that outfit is so dope. But he was like, yeah, we can go to, China. We can get that outfit for you or whatever. I was China. Like, yeah, dude, that'll be amazing. If anyone has that outfit, I still want it. that would be great. But that's how I got into it. And I remember just being so fascinated with my first watch on that little TV in my kitchen. And then kind of moving on to, every single time a guest would come over, I'd play it on the TV. I'd be like, yo, have you guys seen this movie? This movie's amazing. I'd just play it every single time a guest came over. And then I vaguely remember this, but I showed a lot of guests Ip Man 2, and I put it in even my Blu-ray player. I would play it on the family room TV for people to see. And then I remember being like, wait, this is the second movie, so how about the first movie? So I asked my uncle to, should I even be saying this on podcast too?
Sure.
The first movie. So I got the first movie. It was also really incredible. That's the one with the classic fight where he, beats the guys up for some bags of rice, right?
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's kind of how you got into it too, because I think I showed you when you came over some of the movies, and I think both of us got hooked after that.
Yeah, it was kind of strange how we started with the second movie. I don't know how that happened. But
because I had the one for the DVD for the second movie. I didn't have the one. For
let's just call it the DVD. It was definitely the legitimate one. But after watching the second movie, we checked out obviously the first one, and then the third one came out, and then the franchise ended with the fourth one, which was a very good conclusion. But I think that what caught our eye the most, and what not to make an assumption, what catches most people's eyes about these movies, especially in the American setting, is the choreography. You know, the fight scenes.
Yeah.
Because as soon as these movies came out, I think millions, or at least hundreds of thousands of people started practicing Wing Chun afterwards.
Yeah, no, the style became very popular after that.
It was like a movement.
What was your opinion of the first movie?
The first movie is always going to have a soft spot in my heart, because
I would say it was probably the best one. The first or the second are probably the best ones.
The first one, in my opinion, is the best one, because, well, really, somehow they managed to carve out the main character as this almost invincible, immovable kind of a martial arts master. Like, he can fight 10 guys. He can,
right.
He can just, destroy anyone.
Dude. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
it was almost like you were like, man, there's like literally no one that can beat this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody could at the time. And, aside from the themes of, even though this guy is like the best martial artist out there, or at least he seems to be, he's kind of useless in the state of war. But I think that, the fight scenes definitely caught everybody's eye. Themes aside from the movies,
Right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, it's pretty incredible. I remember some of the best fight scenes in that movie was, I think it started out with the one where he was fighting in his house, right? With the with the other guy who was trying to challenge everyone.
Yeah, there was another master from one of the martial arts schools, not the art schools in Foshan. And he wanted to test his skills against Ip Man because he was the new guy in town. Right. And that was when we first got a taste of when Ip Man could really, he was quite skilled. That's how I would put it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the very first fight scene in the movie is the guy who first came to town. And then the second one is the northerner. That was Fan Siwang. And he was, beating up all the other masters. And then when he went to Ip Man's house, they started fighting because Ip Man had to protect the pride of Foshan. And, Fan Siwang was pretty much messing up his house. But there are certainly... Cool fight.
I remember they added some pretty interesting stakes in there. It was like the little kid like riding on the bicycle and like... he was like fighting with like different equipment from his house, like different pieces of furniture.
Yeah.
And I remember there was like a feather or something.
Yeah. The kid part was kind of funny. The equipment, I think it was a feather duster and the northerner's sword, and that was certainly interesting, especially in the second part of the fight. Really, the main thing that I take from it is when you look at Fan Siwang, and Donnie Yen, they're both fighting with a very different kind of energy. You know how Ip Man is always very calm and collected in his fights, and he is kind of immovable. And you see this guy that's fighting him as totally, very, very hyper. That's how we usually put it. Very hyper. He's jumping around everywhere. He's trying to use a lot of brute strength and speed. And Ip Man is always too.
I do remember.
Yeah, they're usually very showy, but Ip Man has a very conservative fighting style because 70% of it is defense, and the rest is countering. And I think that right before they started using the feather duster and the sword, when he really started countering, he was just able to knock him out cold.
No, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah. So it really, I think that was one of the first times you really saw his true skill, right?
Yeah. And that was probably the part where everybody fell in love with Yip Man. But I think we could definitely talk more about the 1v10 scene with the
Black Knights. That was the other really prominent scene in this movie. I think this is when his friend dies, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because the Japanese come and invade, and basically they have this rink where people are fighting for a bag of rice. And his friend goes up against several, I think his friend goes up against five people initially.
He tries to go up against three black belts, and then, well, he loses, and then he gets, shot in the head by the colonel, I think.
So it was three,
But he gets shot
in the head, and then this is kind of like a blood-fueled match between Yip Man and the 10 black belts, because he kind of has this kind of need to avenge his friend.
That's where you see a shift in the emotion, because now he's not just fighting defensively, obviously. Now he's really trying to hurt these guys. I think some of them he actually kills. So it's very uncharacteristic of him, and it does show, kind of a human side to him.
Yeah,
especially with how he deals with the last black belt, because he's looking him straight in the face, and he just keeps punching him.
This is the fight where he goes ham, literally.
He goes ham.
It's legendary.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen it, you got to see that movie. It's pretty incredible. It's one of those fight scenes where, for the first time when you see it, you're like, oh my gosh. It takes you by surprise, because I don't think anyone's ever seen something like that, so like visceral on screen, done in that way, and these guys are professionals, so it's just amazing to see like the way they've coordinated 10 guys versus one man,
Yeah, it's certainly something to behold. And in a way that kind of is I don't want to sound pretentious, like the beauty of choreography.
Yeah.
It's like, you can you can tell a story and you can show emotion through a fight scene, and that's good.
But starting up the second movie, what were your favorite parts?
My favorite fights were probably the one with where he starts fighting Sammo Hung, the table fight scenes, if you remember.
That was pretty
amazing, because first off, The very first fighter, remember, I think he was a short guy. He showed off this very acrobatic kind of style, very show offy and flashy, and then he kind of gets his he gets it handed to him,
Yeah. I like how they build it up in that scene too, where first he fights like the first two, and then he kind of goes into fighting like the grand master of like the group, and which is Sammo Hung, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Because it kind of builds up this tension, like, oh, like, who are you? Like, you're like a nobody, like, why are you coming in here? And then they're like, oh shit, like, he just comes in and he just beats the shit out of like these two other guys, and now he's going for the big one,
Yeah. Sammo Hung is definitely he's quite amazing in that movie. Like,
yeah,
he has this very dominating presence, if you get what I mean. And in his fight scene with Yip Man, they don't give a very clear winner, because I actually just heard about it a few days ago when I was watching Accented Cinema's video on Yip Man 4. Originally, the director's intention for the second movie and the movies beyond was to start giving Yip Man more challenges in his fight scenes, because
the first one, he seemed like this invincible dude, which is
like
you said, beating up everybody without any that he was vulnerable.
I think that in the director's mind, it was kind of what took away a lot of the suspense and tension, because you already know he's gonna win. you're not worried, but I think that even though he's invincible, there's still a great appeal in watching him fight because of how, well, one, how masterful he is, and two, what kind of emotion you can derive out of the fight scenes.
But yeah, I agree with you that they just started adding more ups and downs, I guess, starting the second movie. So that therefore, like, Sammo Hung was more of like, they wanted to show you first that they were neck to neck. And then after that, they kind of bring in this other boxer guy, right? If I remember correctly. They introduced his character, right? And I think first off, I don't want to really ruin the film for people that, I don't know why you're listening to this if you haven't seen it yet, but basically he goes up against Sammo Hung and he killed him because I think that's a really pivotal moment because it shows, like, first they show that Yip Man and Sammo are kind of neck to neck, so they're pretty much, you know, similar in skill. And then they kind of bring in this guy who just beats the shit out of Sammo Hung. You know, and then you're kind of like, oh, maybe, you know, it kind of gives you like that sense of like
tension.
There is a challenge here for you, you know.
Well, I think that when they brought in Mr. Miller, they created a very interesting paradigm into a martial arts film because maybe it's because I haven't really explored much in terms of filmography, but the only time I've seen that was in another Jet Li movie, where I can't remember the martial arts he was depicting, but you usually don't see people with different styles being pitted against each other because it's almost unheard of, you know, boxing versus kung fu. It's like, oh, obvious. The Western perspective is like, oh, obviously Kung Fu is going to win because, you know, it's Kung Fu. It's, you know, all these flips and tricks and kicks and whatever. And boxing is just punching. But really, you know, when unfortunately, Yip Man gets his ass handed to him in the first round, and then he has to start changing up his style to the Hungar, which was what Sammo Hung was using. It sort of shows that people with different styles can be, you know, that it's not about whose style it's better. It's more about how skilled is each practitioner. And that shows itself again in the fourth movie, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think like you were talking about with boxing, right?
Yeah.
How you were like, oh yeah, you know, obviously Chinese Kung Fu is going to win, right?
Yeah.
But I think they really showed within the first couple matches, like, the brute strength of Darren's character in that film. Yeah. They showed a lot of his strength. Like, they showed him throwing around people.
Oh, yeah.
They showed it how hard his, like, punches were hitting. Like, you can really feel the strength in that fight.
Especially with, I think before that scene, there was a demonstration. He was asking one of the Kung Fu students to hit him. And he was like, oh, punch me, punch me. And they were all trying to hit his chest. The last guy, in his last attempt, he actually tried, and Mr. Miller just knocked him out of spite, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's definitely a very, like, racially filled movie, I'd say, because of how the different races are being portrayed, I'd say.
Yeah. Without a doubt, Yip Man 1, 2, and 4, we'll talk about 3 later, but those 3 movies in the franchise are definitely fueled by, I guess you could call it, an anti-racist vibe.
Yeah.
That's definitely the best way I can put it.
But I think the main takeaway from that movie was it wasn't really about, like, the strength, but more about, like, the actual technique that he was using to help win the fight in the end.
Well, it was definitely a very good fight scene. I think that the fact that Yip Man had to change styles afterwards is a good move, and they definitely, well, I would certainly hand it to them that they captured the power of boxing very well. And when I say power, I mean strength, but they also included there's a lot of speed and angle work to boxing that a lot of people, I think, I don't want to assume. A lot of people don't really see it, because it looks like just punching, but there's an art to it too. That's why it's called a martial art, you know.
So let's talk a little bit about the third movie then.
Yeah.
This movie, I'd have to say, wasn't one of my favorites.
Really?
Per se. I don't know how you feel about this.
It's actually close to a second favorite. For different reasons. But in terms of fight scenes, it ranks kind of low on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The movie is about how Ip Man has to deal with his wife's cancer. And there is, I guess, a secondary antagonist in the movie, played by Zhang Jin. The character's name is Master Z, and he has a movie of its own. I didn't know either until earlier this year. But
I did see that too. Yeah.
Yeah. The only notable fight scene in that movie, no discredit to I can't call it a cameo, like a reference to Bruce Lee, because Bruce Lee doesn't do too much in this movie, not as much as he does in the next movie, but the most notable fight scene in this one is, well, okay, there's two of them. The one with Mike Tyson. The one with Zhang Jin, which comes afterwards. But let's talk about Mike Tyson first, because this is a bit of it felt like a very random inclusion, you know. I remember you talking about that.
Right. Yeah, I was like, I forgot how he was included into this movie.
It was through some gang relation, but I think that you said it better before, where it kind of just like they kind of forced him into it, kind of.
Yeah. He did feel a little forced into it.
It was kind of like revisiting the fight with Mr. Miller because, well, you know, boxing versus Wing Chun. I think that they did a pretty good job with the fight scene because, well, the director certainly got what he wanted when making the stakes higher, because neither party really won. And it was because it was a timed fight. Titled it, and certainly you can appreciate the kind of power and the speed that Mike Tyson shows, but it's also a very interesting scene because you see Ip Man take a very different stance. Do you remember the scene where he started, you know, like crouching down very slowly on one leg and he waited for him I was like, oh, now he's really pulling out the
big moves.
Yeah, the big moves. But yeah, it was a very interesting fight scene. Not the best. In fact, I'd say that I kind of prefer the one with Mr. Miller a little more. But it's not bad by any means. I don't think there are any bad fight scenes in Ip Man.
No, yeah. No, these guys are always really good at coordination with these fight scenes.
Yeah. And the last fight scene is probably the most extensive look at Wing Chun, because, well, really, it's two different Wing Chun schools. So there's Master Z and there's Ip Man, and they both explore the art a little more, because they don't just use, you know, the long pole. They also take out, I think they're called butterfly swords. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, butterfly swords. And then they use hand-to-hand combat, but it really explores more of what there is to the art, including the weapons. And you never imagine Ip Man holding a sword.
Let's talk about the staffs too. I remember they were using these long staffs.
I think I like that part of the scene. Actually, no, there's something good about each of the parts of the fight. Really, it's like a three-act thing. You have staffs where they show a lot of power and manipulation, The knives are more about, you know, speed and dexterity and reaction. And then hand to hand is where it all culminates. You know, you have all the force, all the speed, all the reaction time, and it makes something really, I guess you could call it beautiful.
How about we move on to the fourth movie now?
That will be an interesting case because that one has Scott Adkins.
Yeah, Scott Adkins, man. I do remember watching a lot of Scott Adkins kind of stuff on YouTube. He has like a lot of like really crazy martial arts, acrobatic type fight scenes. I remember he was doing like a lot of flips, a lot of high kicks. I think that's what he's known for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about his movie in Ip Man 4. I think this starts out where his wife passed away.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's dealing with his son and moving to America, that whole storyline. So it's more about Ip Man's story in America.
Yeah. And that does take an interesting turn because I've actually heard a statement about the story itself where some people were saying that it was really just Ip Man 2 rehashed because it's the same story about racism, but there was a very good video by, again, Accented Cinema. Unfortunately, that video was taken down, but hopefully it goes back up soon because it was talking about how to write racism, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they did bring a very interesting case up with Scott Adkins' character. Overall, this movie was a little bit more tame. Well, no, actually, no. Mm-hmm. It was a little more less giving with the choreography and the fight scenes. But there were certainly some very interesting scenes. Let's talk about the Bruce Lee scene first, where he fought the karate guy in the alley.
I do remember the scene, yeah. Where he's like, where they're all at the diner, and the guys come in, and they're like, hey, like, just take this outside, and then, like, he's like, don't worry, Mr. Ip, like, I'll be fine, and then he goes outside, and then, like, all his boys are, like, whooping their ass.
Yeah, there were actually, I don't know how accurate it is, but there were people who did say that Bruce Lee would accept public challenges. And, you know, he's Bruce Lee. He would fight all, he would win all the time. So this was a good thing to include. And I do like how they took a more realistic look at Bruce Lee because obviously he's not going to be invincible. I don't think anybody is. And they did show him get hit. They did show him he got bruised. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But he won his way, and they showed a very I guess you could say that they show how Jeet Kune Do really started the dynamics and the whiplash movements of you know, modern MMA. They do call Bruce Lee the father of modern MMA for that reason.
Yeah, yeah.
There are two fight scenes where him and I gotta find his name. I'm sorry, I gotta find his name. Master Wan. Okay, so the first fight scene is with the table rotator. You know, you know, whenever we go to a Chinese restaurant, there's the
like the Lazy Susie thing.
Yeah, the Lazy Susie. And Master Wan tries to induct him into the martial arts school's union, and Ip Man refuses because Master Wan doesn't accept Bruce Lee, because Bruce Lee teaches Kung Fu to non-Chinese. But it culminates in them, you know, tossing the book and the cup of tea back and forth. And it ends with the Lazy Susie shattering. And I think that was very cool visually because it's less about the moves and more about the tension. But they expand on that later with the second fight scene, which is unfortunately cut short by an earthquake.
Yeah.
That was kind of it's like, oh man, come on.
Yeah, like that earthquake. Where did it come out from?
Well, it is San Francisco. It was very short, so we can't really say much about it, but it was a good taste, I'd say. It was a good taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do see kind of how it was a rehash of Ip Man 2, just because of how, you know, you do have, like, this tension, and obviously, you know, he comes in, and he still has to come in and fight, you know, the new Grandmaster or whoever it is, but then eventually both of them end up turning to face a similar enemy.
Scott Adkins as the drill sergeant is a very, very, I think, the best villain in the Ip Man franchise. But
mm-hmm.
on his skill, it's good.
mm-hmm.
It's certainly interesting to see him use American karate because, well, it's definitely different from what we've seen from Ip Man 1 with mm-hmm. the last fight scene with the general. But the kind of hate that you can see in his fighting style, the kind of malice, speaks a lot. And we can first see that with his scene with Master Wan. He hospitalizes him. Master Wan actually puts up a much better fight than I expected him to. He throws him to the ground a lot. Like,
a lot.
And it was very cool to see such a floaty fighting style, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he hospitalizes him, unfortunately. And the second fight scene with Ip Man, like you said, it's a rehash of Ip Man 2 because he's getting payback again. And he's protecting mm-hmm. the dignity of the Chinese again. But there are certain points that I do really like. First off, they show Ip Man is aging. He has arthritis now.
Yeah.
Yeah, his fingers are... some people say it's from an injury before, but I didn't really remember that at first, so I just sort of took it as, oh, he really is getting older. You can even see his face is sagging a little more. But
mm-hmm.
his fight with the drill sergeant, though he didn't have much to show for in the beginning, in the end, he wrapped it up very quickly. And I think that there is more than meets the eye that goes behind it, because it's not just about getting payback. It's also what the franchise has led up to is that he knows that he has limitations, and now they're really coming forth because he's getting old. You know, Ip Man is getting old. So
yeah, I think it's the same thing like Logan.
Yeah, kind of like Logan. That's a good comparison.
Right.
And what really surprised me in the end with how swiftly he beat him down was that it was actually the only time that I've seen him use. Do you remember in the first movie with the general? He was going to jab his freaking he was going to jab his throat in with the finger strike. And
yeah,
in this movie, he actually does it. I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. He does. And he's like kind of choking at the end.
Yeah, it was it looked very uncomfortable.
Yeah. But
it was a very good fight scene because of how I wouldn't call it brutal, but I will call it steadfast because of how quickly he resolved the fight at the end. And that's it's a good fight scene for different reasons, you know. All the fight scenes in Ip Man are good for different reasons. And I think we can leave it off at that.
Yeah, man, for sure. Well, thank you for joining us on this whole Ip Man journey.
Very long episode.
Very long episode. Unexpectedly long episode. But if you guys want us to go in depth into each one of these individual fights, I know this is kind of like a brief overview, but if you guys want us to go in depth into a singular fight scene, which is something I think we should do. We should focus more on individual fights, and we can talk a lot about individual fights.
Yeah.
Instead of just going way over on like this huge overview of like a whole franchise.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. It's a whole franchise, and there's a lot put into every fight scene. We do have
There's a lot. So if you guys want to see specific breakdowns of each individual fight scenes, I think that's what we're gonna focus on a little bit more.
Yeah.
For this series. But thank you for joining us for this episode, this long episode about the Ip Man franchise. We hope you join us for future episodes.